The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
How long after their death do you think they should actually be allowed? Like, it, that someone's allowed to control it at all?
So two things come to mind for me. If it's immediately, assassinations are going to skyrocket. Let's say you got an IP, so Harry Potter's just J.K. Rowling's, or you got all of Cosmere's just Brando Sando, and as soon as one of them kicks the can, it's in the public domain. You're going to see Disney's going to become just a mercenary group of a bunch of Floridians and Californians going around just taking out celebrities.
I want that to be a mini TV series of that exact law change, and you just see Disney going on hits.
Everyone's dressed as like a Mickey Mouse, and then they just got slogan, uh-huh, every time they kill somebody.
That's nice. Or oh, there you go. Welcome everyone to the Tutor Round Podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Today we're talking about copyright and why Disney sucks. Basically.
That'd be funny if we just ended the pod episode. That's it, everybody. See you next week. Do the little Disney, the animation with the ears.
And we're right back with Disney Channel.
Da, 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 da. What's the song? I don't know. They'll copyright this, so we better not say
probably
the song.
God. Speaking of which, we were thinking, talking about adaptations. Why are we only getting basically franchises? We want original stuff. And why has it been so long since stuff has actually entered in the public domain? We looked into it and realized everything is Disney's fault. And we're going to talk about it.
So, yeah, the preface is, what we're going to go over, what is copyright? What's a copyright license? Let's specify this to the U.S. So we looked up U.S. copyright law, and that's not going to be international everywhere, but it'll give you kind of a good basis for your country, wherever you are. You can find out what the exact
there's a lot of ties over, like, yeah, a lot of other countries recognize U.S. copyright law, kind of follows suit
via treaty and amicable relations. So
others don't. So, but give context, we're talking about the U.S. right now.
But copyright in general, just what it does, the goal of copyright, why it exists, is for two things. And this is the whole debate of copyright. It is, one, to protect the creators who made the thing, mm-hmm, but two, to also benefit the public. And it's the juggle between what copyright does and what copyright is. And just to clarify for Rich, I know you might know this, but I want to clarify with the audience and with myself of the difference between what copyright versus trademarking versus a patent is, and why they're very different.
I did research too this time, so I already know, but you got to let the audience in.
You know, maybe we could help each other a little bit. You weave in, I weave in.
All right. Well, how about you start off with trademark?
I'll start with trademarking, okay? Now, trademarks are the most different between the other two because trademarks can go forever, at least in the U.S. Trademarks, you can renew them, I believe it's every 10 years, and these protect brands, logos, and slogans like Tudor Ramble, for example. Let's trademark that before we release this video. So they protect a brand's name, and those can last forever. Now, why can trademarks last forever in law, and why it's more morally ethical as well, is the brand itself or the name doesn't have really any public value. And no, there's nothing of, like, you just own a company name. No and one that's
really
it.
Gets value off of using the McDonald's logo for their own thing.
Other than McDonald's being recognized, well, helps them so that you can go, oh, it's actually in the public's interest to know, okay, that company does that.
Yeah.
So it helps the, it's the least controversial one. Trademark makes sense. No one's arguing it. It's the two stickier ones. Do you want to go into patent law just a little bit and what the difference sure. is there?
Patent law is basically protecting of an actual idea. Often it's ideas and works of, like, normally of mechanical nature.
You sort have of to invention.
Invention yeah. is effectively it. You have to, now, there's two strategies. You can actually not get a patent, but what that means is you're not protected by patent law, but you don't have to submit the information on your idea, your patent, to the United States government, which becomes public knowledge. So part of it is the incentive to do to actually submit for a patent is you get the protections of the U.S. government if someone tries to copy your stuff. The downside is you can actually, like, once the patent's expired, other people can use your designs because you've already publicly submitted them.
Great example is every medicine out there and yep. how there's a generic version of everyone that was created and invented, because patent law currently lasts 20 years mm-hmm. in U.S. law, at least. And the reason for that, why it's a shorter time, we'll talk about for copyright, but it's more important for patents to be shorter because the public benefit and need of not monopolizing a certain drug or something that helps everybody, it's important to get that going so there's generic versions, so it lowers the cost and there's competition.
Quick example of that is Bayer aspirin. So there yeah. are... there's plenty of over-the-counter aspirin available. However, Bayer aspirin actually doesn't have a patent on aspirin, but does have a patent on their particular coating. Or they don't have a patent. They keep it secret. There's a certain way that Bayer actually coats their aspirin, and it increases the shelf life of aspirin dramatically. This was increasingly important in World War II, and so they were going to provide aspirin to the United States Army, and they were going to do this. They had a contract call put up, and U.S. government says, you need to submit this for a patent so we actually know what's going into our soldiers' bodies. Like, we need the information.
That'll be good, yeah.
Submit a patent. And they said, no, we're not going to submit a patent. That's no, because that'll only last 20 years, and everyone gets it after. We'd rather just trust ourselves and keep it secret. If someone else figures it out, it's fair game. But they're betting on the fact that no one else will figure it out.
They're betting it will take over 20 years, at least.
It's the same thing with, like, Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah, I was Coca-Cola just going to say that.
Coca-Cola doesn't patent their recipe for Coca-Cola. Yeah. They just keep it secret.
Right.
So,
you can get close to examples. I mean, you could basically mimic Coke at this point, but they have the brand, they have the trademark, so.
But if you're interested of, like, why do people buy Bayer aspirin, why do they still have their own version, and why it's at all valuable, typically, it's not that valuable. However, shelf life is the one thing Bayer does better than the competition and the generic brands.
Because of the coating. I didn't know that. That's cool.
There you go.
And then that versus copyright. Now where we get into the conversation of this podcast. So trademarks are brands and logos, mm-hmm. et cetera. Patents are for inventions and mechanical processes or whatever it might be. Copyrights are for original works of authorship.
And they are fixed to a tangible medium.
Tangible
medium of expression.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, and so it has to do with things like books.
Or movies. Or movies. Whatever.
Ideas formed into the written word is a lot of what copyright is. Music is copyrighted. A lot of what we deal with here on YouTube can be copyright claimed because you use certain music or images or paintings or so forth. It's all under the copyright thing. And copyright gets a little bit more specific because there's also something called fair use, which helps to benefit the public, where if you use somebody else's thing for educational purposes or for humor or as a parody.
Transformative in nature is the
bare
bone of that, but also educational purposes, which is not necessarily transformative. I think mainly the two. It's transformative or educational.
Yeah, I think parody is a big part of that too, because if you're satirizing like South Park or Family Guy.
I would find a parody is more transformative.
Okay,
that's how I kind of think
that's the only thing we can get away with on this pod. For any copyright claims, we go like, oh, we're just kidding.
Yeah, we're kidding. It was a goof.
It was like,
just a big old goof.
Like us using Mickey Mouse in the thumbnail, it's a goof.
It's a goof, and also in the public domain now. Well,
Steamboat Willie is.
Steamboat Willie is.
Yes.
January 2024, finally, Mickey Mouse is in the public domain. And that's about at the bare minimum, about 20 years late.
That's what
25-ish years late.
This is what kind of sparked this conversation between us, because we were looking at the history, how long copyright lasts, how long should it last, and one thing that changed, at least in U.S. law, a quick history lesson, is Disney, the reason we're saying Disney a lot, Rich, is the law in the U.S. a long time, 1900s, used to be, the very first law in the U.S. was that copyright lasted 14 years with a 14-year renewal, quickly changed to a 28 years with 14-year renewal, and then by 1909, it changed to 28 years with 28-year renewal. Now, the first big law that really changed that, so it lasted 28 years plus 28-year renewal, the newest one happened in 1976, and that extended copyright to either 75 years or the life of the author plus 50 years. And now the even more recent stipulation to that happened in 1998, where it extended that previous extension to 95 or 120 years or life plus 70 years. And all that jargon, just to really simplify it, Rich.
It effectively increased from one law to the next of an increase of 20 years.
Which now today, what copyright law is in the U.S. is it lasts the life of the author
Plus 70
years.
Now, I think it is important to make a caveat here. I have high doubts that this is actually going to change anytime soon. Disney is going to be able to extend that even further.
No, I don't think so either.
No. So we are stuck with it. And the light at the end of the tunnel is we've had for about 20 years a real trickle into the public domain. Basically, because they extended that law, a bunch of things that would have been going into the public domain now were just extended. So we had 20 years of nothing in the tank. It's the dark years, the 20 dark years. Now, starting from this year forward, we're going to start seeing new stuff every year, which is actually kind of exciting to see. So I'm very happy about that. A little too little too late, but it's something positive to think
about. And the whole Disneyfication around all this is that they lobbied Congress and got the law to pass so they could extend their copyrights and hold on to things like Steamboat Willie or their creations that they made. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is also interesting, which we'll get into, is with Disney itself, they kind of started using, not copyrighted stuff, but using
a bunch of
fairy tales
on the public domain.
They used a bunch of things from the public domain, the stories that have been there forever. Beauty the Beast, Cinderella, all these things that were long ago created in folklore and stories in the 16, 17, 1800s, and that's how they got big.
Oh, I mean, they took the Brothers Grimm and just made an entire company on that.
It worked. It worked real well.
Quick 10-second pause from the video. If you want to rep some cool Tudor Ramble merch and support our channel, go ahead and check out TudorRamble.com or check the link in the description below.
You can rock some You Teeter My Totter or some Democracy Is
Cringe.
All right, back to the episode. So then talking about the pros and cons of this, so we know what copyright law is. Why are we even making this vid, Rich? What do you think about copyright law and what... Okay, you gave me a sigh.
On the whole.
What was that sigh for?
I initially am like, screw Disney. They don't make most things that Disney makes nowadays. I'm not a fan of their business practice. I'm not a big fan. And so I'm initially on the side of, hey, more things should go into public domain. Copyright shouldn't be that long. It's too long. However, I think back to does things going into the public domain particularly help? What do you think? Is the public domain that important?
I think, yes, within a reasonable time, but what is that reasonable time is the whole question, because I don't think that it's, okay, I think the copyright is a perfect in-between of a trademark and patent, where patent, there's a huge public benefit to if something's patented, and then you could have competition with getting a life-saving drug or this technology that can help advance. Like, you can't patent something so basic, for example. Mm-hmm. So then with copyright law, the thing I wouldn't want with copyright law is to take away the rights of the author and the creator themselves. It's very important. So for example, having that old law where it was 14 years, 14-year renewal, imagine creating something when you're 20, and then by age 40-something, you lose the rights to it, and then all of a sudden someone's using your characters in your world, and you're just going, no, that's my thing. So at least the life of the author.
Well, that's a big part of Disney's argument is the corruption of their creation, that people will spoil it and people will be confused. Of like, if you take Mickey Mouse and everyone starts doing their own thing with it, it basically ruins the character. Mm-hmm. That things going into the public domain ruins it. Do you think that's true? That when something enters the public domain, it inherently becomes spoiled when people use it without, you know, the author's approval?
I think what it does, it allows you people to propagate it more. So It's a Wonderful Life was never, I don't believe that was owned. Or what
it fell into, it was received so poorly and during an initial release that they did not
copyright it.
No, copyright happens automatically. You don't have to submit for a copyright. Okay, so copyright applies on the moment of creation. You can submit for a copyright for other legal protections, but you create it and you put it down in a final medium. It automatically is protected by copyright law.
That went to the public domain, though, because they did not... What was the legal term there?
Mainly, they did not apply for extension because they didn't think it was worth it. So they let it fall to public domain. They did not... They decided not to extend. The initial law of the 28-year extension. So it was 28 years, and then they're like, hey, this movie was a flop anyway. I'm not going to apply to extend it another 28 years. Went to public domain. And most people know the story about that. TV channels were going like, we need something over the holidays. Like, got to fill the dead space. So they put this movie
on. It's a Wonderful Life wasn't...
Cult classic.
So it automatically gets copyrighted, but they didn't renew it with the old law.
Exactly.
Got it. So then, since they didn't renew it, they didn't have the copyright any longer. And people were... Now it became a classic.
Now, so, there's something about It's a Wonderful Life. Once it's made, it's hard to... particularly change it or pervert it in any way. Like, it's a movie.
Yeah.
That's basically it. It's another thing with characters. Like, I think the best example now we're looking at is Winnie the Pooh. The Winnie the Pooh slasher film that is not a good movie. It's not... It was made purely for shock value of like, hey, we can do this. We're going to make it.
Right.
It's not particularly good. Did the copyright law... Like, is Winnie the Pooh being in the public domain benefit the public in any way?
I think what it benefits is the public, what it benefits is if it's a smaller IP, I think it benefits the smaller one more because it gets it more popular to more eyes. So It's a Wonderful Life, why it works there is because It's a Wonderful Life was something that they didn't continue the copyright with, got into the public domain, and people ended up loving it because it was so not unknown. And it ended up being huge from that and benefited the public. But for something as big as Winnie the Pooh or something as big as the characters in, imagine Harry Potter or something of the sort, it's hard to compete with what you already look at as Mickey Mouse, for example. Because Mickey Mouse could be in the public domain. I'm not talking about Steamboat Willie. Think of all the other Mickey Mouse in totality. I'll still always look at the mouse and go, oh, it's Disney. And they have the platform to go look at our Disney film. Pinocchio, for example, here's where it is a benefit to the public domain. If Pinocchio isn't owned, the version that Disney has of Pinocchio, the film they made in the 40s, was it or so, that specific telling of the classic story of Pinocchio, which, you know, was Italian, by the way. Let's go, my Italian brother. This is what Italians do. You could tell them Italians.
There you go. You already do that enough.
I do.
Just stick with it.
I wanted to go like punk rock Italian. So if I'm...
Do they exist?
No.
Also, I'm having a good time right now.
Really?
I know. I'm having a good time. Good conversation.
Flipping happy guy here. Yeah. Nice. What was I saying? Oh, yes. Remind me again.
Disney took Pinocchio story, which is public domain, made their version copyright.
Exactly. So the benefit of a public domain, what it does. So Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. I watched that animated film. Fantastic, by the way. You can have so many different tellings of the classic Pinocchio story, which gets you a lot of unique and creative ways to tell this classic story. Just like Disney is kind of doing that with their fairy tales versus DreamWorks is doing that with fairy tales from the past. So Shrek and Puss in Boots, they always use these, the Gingerbread Man and all these cool fairy tales in a unique way to tell the medium. Now, do I think that the Winnie the Pooh slasher film is advancing or changing the game? No, because it's too soon of the copyright gone for there to be too many inventive things. I think the further it gets away from the copyright being gone, the more creative and the more nuance and new things you can do with it. Because since we're talking about adaptations of fairy tales from the 16 and 1700s, there's so many now in our heads. We got DreamWorks. We have Disney. We have all these cool things that we recognize as, oh, there's this version of Little Red Riding Hood, and there's this, and there's this. There's how many tellings of Dracula? And you could go and go, that's my favorite Dracula adaptation. No, that one is. So I think it does benefit when it is something... It does benefit in the long run. In the short term, it's going to be very hard to distinguish, oh, this is going to be the new adaptation. I think Winnie the Pooh was more... That slasher film was more of just a cash grab. Whereas there's more genuine adaptations that happen later and further on from you losing the rights to it.
I think the real hope about copyright and the whole hope of public domain is that one day someone will take something that has been done before and improve upon it and make it better. I would say Disney initially did that. They took these fairy tales and made them more popular, and they elevated the material. Now, you may disagree, like, on, because personally, I like Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio more so than Disney's version.
Same here, yeah.
But point being, the original Pinocchio story, very good, classic, but not as many people knew about it until after the movie, the Disney movie. So that's the hope of public domain, and it's definitely true, because every artist, like, nothing is original. Everything is inspired by something. Everyone, you know, reads a book and they combine, like, when they write something, it's like, oh, they're pulling from different aspects of things they've consumed before. I mean, that's all art is, standing on the shoulders of the people that came before you.
Lord of the Rings, as much as we just look at this as this, and I'm going to go back after this point and really defend the author side of this. So I want to, I'm going to double into the why, the originality portion you're talking about first, where Lord of the Rings, as much as we look at that causing all of these copycats in the future, the Shannara Chronicles, I'm pretty sure that was very much inspired by it, and all these books. Well, Tolkien looks at Lord of the Rings and he took inspiration from, oh, Beowulf and X and Y and all these stories. And then you look at Beowulf, and I'm going to use conjecture for a second and just go back to, oh, maybe the Epic of Gilgamesh. And then where did Epic of Gilgamesh get it from? Oh, a story that Ulak Araku said for oral tradition since the negative 5000 BC. It just keeps going back and back and back. And that's more of a conversation about originality of thought, of how much of our thoughts can you own a thought, an idea? And something like Lord of the Rings, where you get a very specific world of, hey, you literally created hobbits and changed how people look at elves and dwarves and created this world of Middle Earth. It's inventive enough and transformative enough where you created your own thing. You own that. But then since you also built that off the backbones of other ideas, you know, there's a clock so that more people eventually in the future can also use that and transform it as well.
Basically, do what got you there in the first place. Mm-hmm. You don't close the door behind you is effectively what you should be doing. That's, I think, the big reason why people were upset with Disney doing this initially, and still to the day, is it feels like they're closing the door behind them, that they use the public domain to reach their success, and then they look behind them, and they're just... pull the ladder up behind them. Like, I'm like, no, you're not allowed to use the public domain either. You can't do what we did.
It's like if we ever make even bigger and bigger and millions of subscribers and you go, Austin, we're changing co-hosts. You're going to have to go, buddy. It's like, but look how we got here. And then if he has more success, I'm like, oh, good choice, Rich. It was advantageous to the business.
I'm surprised you haven't kicked me out yet.
What do you think's going to do it? Where do you think our biggest tension point will be where the whole entire, the trademark of this entire thing changes?
I'll be honest. When we first started, I read more than you. Like, I had more books under my belt than you. And so, like, we played into that banter. Like, that's what I vow. Like,
you were the reader. I was dumb, never read.
You were the newer reader-ish. Mm-hmm. You're reading a lot more now. I'm increasingly becoming less valuable in my wealth of book knowledge. And you're starting to come up there. I'm seeing that. And I have to, I recognize, like, at one point, you're going to become equal and maybe beyond. And I'm going to be like, What do I bring to the table? I don't edit our video.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Well, then on the flip side of that, as I start to read more, I'm noticing you're like, oh, he's starting to read more. I have to read more. And so it's kind of like that. We had Brian McClellan on. You know how Brian McClellan and Sanderson,
yeah.
Brian McClellan was Sanderson's student, and Sanderson was already a very famous author when he was teaching Brian McClellan. And Brian McClellan became an author of his own, but then Sanderson became an even better author and more successful. And it's like, you know, as much as I'm reading, he's just got such a foothold on me. It's a rough race, buddy. It's going to be a long time before I catch up. So
I don't know. You're going to get there one day. But we're talking about all the positives of things going to the public domain.
And yes,
yeah. I generally am on that side of you shouldn't pull the ladder up behind you. I think it's very important for a public domain to exist. And
can I throw a question in on that too?
But I have caveats to that.
Yeah, before the caveats, because there's a big difference between that intangible idea. Of course, you create the physical book with the words or the film that has there, but that copyrights are ideas, in a sense, that you've created from past ideas. There's a difference between that than a literal object like the stuffed animal. Mm-hmm. So this stuffed animal that I own and is property versus the idea of property. So how do you see that difference and the difference of a physical item that you own, that almost fell, a physical item that you own versus this idea and copywriting. Oh, sorry to tangent off again, just came to mind though, but music, for example, mm-hmm. and how so many pieces of music use the same notes.
Oh yeah, you can't. Well, that's the thing. No idea is solely an island. Like, no one's an island. All ideas are based off of something else. Everything. You learned from your teachers. You read from books. Like, no one has ever had a completely original thought. Ever. We are all building off of our forefathers.
And sometimes contradicting them to come up with a new thought.
But we're still basing it on them.
Yeah.
It's still
like, whatever them. You say, I just go opposite.
Yeah, I mean, it's a valid strategy.
And it seems like an original thought, but it's not. I am just inversing Rich.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's art. That's inherently art, is basically,
yeah.
Look at me, Dad. I'm different. I'm doing the opposite of what you did.
Copyright is teenage angst.
Yeah, basically. But no, that's... So the reason why you can't own an idea forever is... One, because you didn't solely make it, because you took from the ideas of others to create your idea. And if we allow you to completely own your idea, that means we have to allow everyone in the past to completely own their ideas.
And then your
which
idea
means your idea is not allowed.
Right.
So ultimately, a compromise needs to be made of ideas can only be owned for so long until they are given back to the public, because the public uses them to create more. There's also the whole idea of when you steal someone's property, it's a one-for-one loss. Like, you actually lose versus someone takes your idea. It's not like you're not allowed to have your idea anymore.
It still exists.
It's still yours. Nothing has changed other than someone else also has it. It's not a zero-sum game. So that's the whole difference between ideas and property.
And I do think of it like I am very much on board with, we'll have a lot of caveats here, but in a future world, this will happen hopefully before we die. Hopefully we make it that long. We'll see how the health goes. But when Lord of the Rings becomes public domain and other stories can have hobbits, that's going to be a cool thing. I get that there's dwarves and there's halflings and other universes you can go adjacent, but having literal hobbits in different worlds.
I actually want to bring this up of, has copyright law particularly helped Lord of the Rings recently?
Rings of Power?
I don't know. It's like, copyright law is there to protect the integrity of the original author and their works. I'm looking around.
You have an interesting point.
I'm looking at the Hollywood landscape going like, are they really protecting it?
It protected it long enough for Peter Jackson to come in and give us all this gem.
Yeah. That's about it, though.
And the thing with that as well is the rights to Lord of the Rings. It's such a complex thing because Tolkien sold the rights for, I think it was £100,000 to, I forget the company's name, but he sold it before he passed away, obviously, but he also retained the rights to things like the Silmarillion and also the appendices here. So Tolkien sold the appendices to Amazon and Amazon's adapt. Amazon doesn't have access to all the Lord of the Rings. So it's a lot of jargon. It's a lot to figure out what they can exactly do.
Yeah.
So that's a whole other conversation.
So it's,
we're in agreement there. it's not so cookie cutter, but yes, agreed.
So I'm looking at that going, it's the promise of copyright law is to protect the integrity and quality of the author's work. If copyright law isn't particularly delivering on the promise, what's the point of it?
Well, the muddying part is protecting the integrity of the author is solely up to the author. So Oda, with his recent Netflix adaptation, he could pull the plug at any time he wanted. He has the copyright to One Piece. Mm-hmm. So when the author's alive, it's more easy to stay integral because they can control. J.K. Rowling, when she's looking at casting Harry Potter and everything, she says, that's Harry. Daniel Radcliffe is Harry. Mm-hmm. I want that. That like Daniel's a thing. Like I want that
it.
Little.
I it. Want it.
Little boy over here. Come here. Go perform dance. So someone that when you're alive, it's much easier to at least get what you want. And hey, if it's not a good adaptation, it's more so on the author if they still retain the rights.
Well, I think we found it then. Where the conversation ultimately leads is the good change was the 1976 Act, where at minimum it started with the life of the authors when it's protected, plus 50 years.
But yeah.
I think we ultimately agree the great change was the life of the author. Ultimately, if the author's still alive, they should have control over their work.
I agree.
At least have the option to. Yeah. That's their decision. They're alive. They get to do what they want with it. How long after their death do you think they should actually be allowed? That someone's allowed to control it at all.
So two things come to mind for me. If it's immediately, assassinations are going to skyrocket. Let's say you got an IP, so Harry Potter's just J.K. Rowling's, or you got all of Cosmere's just Brando Sando, and as soon as one of them kicks the can, it's in the public domain, you're going to see Disney's going to become just a mercenary group of a bunch of Floridians and Californians going around just taking out celebrities.
I want that to be a mini TV series of that exact law change, and you just see Disney going on hits.
Everyone's dressed as like a Mickey Mouse, and then they just got slogan, uh-huh, every time they kill somebody.
That's nice. There you go.
Oh, it looks like a little bit of blood. It's so stupid. So there has to be at least a gap there or something reasonable. But the more important and more serious reason to extend it past the life of the author is you don't just create a work for yourself. It's your job and your career and what you build is also for your kids and future generations. Mm-hmm. So when you're creating something, whether it's a business with a trademark and you want to pass that on to your kids, it's just like, hey, if you create a good piece of art or you have this copyright you have, oh, I also want my kid to reap benefits as well.
Yeah. Well, the reason why copyright law is extended past the author's death is to give that author some value. Because if it goes to the public domain immediately after their death, they can't sell their... It'll be a lot harder to sell their work to anybody. Because it's like, why am I going to sell this now? I'm only going to get 15, 20 years off of it. It's not that... It's not worth a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's extended. So the longer the copyright is allowed on paper, the more that an author can sell it for. So ultimately, I think it goes back to the author's value proposition. I know it's partly, I guess, for the kids as well, but to pass down that wealth.
Yeah, because do you see it as a lot easier when you're talking about an indie author, for example?
Mm-hmm.
The copyright much more benefits the smaller author, the less successful one, because the longer you have for it to be successful gives you more room. You don't think so?
Well, no, because for the author, if they are... Let's say they're 60 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume they have at least 30 years left on their life, and they go to sell their idea. It's really popular, huge thing, and I'm going to go sell it to some company to make adaptations and do what they want with it. They come to the table. Ultimately, they're only bringing to the table 30 years worth of use of their work. That's all they can sell. Versus when the law is plus 70 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They now have 100 years of exclusivity.
Yeah, yeah. I think you misunderstood me there, because I was saying that the smaller author that needs more time for this to become successful. So if the copyright law is longer, it benefits the smaller author who's less successful, because it gives them more time to get that success from it. You get what I mean? Are we saying different things?
Different things, because once they're dead, they're dead. That's
Then the future generation. So they're kids who would retain the copyright or so forth. So I think what I'm saying is, so for a smaller, a less successful version, if it's not the Lord of the Rings, not your Harry Potter, it's a book that's out today that with the current copyright law, and it's not popular now, it won't be in the next two decades, three decades, but the more time you have to get it, to get an adaptation or get it to a certain level of success, whether it's you or your kids, the longer the copyright is, the more it benefits the unknown author, is what I'm saying. Do you agree with that?
No.
Oh, okay, then yeah. What do you think?
I mean, mainly it's for the popular authors, they have a bigger check coming to them if the copyright is longer.
Got it. Okay.
Because companies will pay more for a longer line of exclusivity. Mm-hmm. For a no-name, whether that copyright is 20 years, 80 years, 100 years, it's not popular, then it doesn't matter to the corporations that are buying it. So I don't think it particularly benefits them. And public domain often has a good way of making something more popular, especially if something is made, maybe someone makes an adaptation of it.
Yeah.
And it's not as good, then people will look back at the original.
Okay. I guess I do disagree
I'm more on the neutral side. I don't think copyright law particularly helps the no names as much, if at all, the really successful creators.
Gotcha. I mean, it definitely helps the Disneys and so forth. There's a reason they're pushing for the law. And a lot of Disney's reasoning, too, is, hey, we're also protecting the little guy. And that's the way they're able to also pass these bills in Congress. And I agree with you. I don't think they're going to be able to get away with much more because the internet, and it's so much more well-known. The last time they passed a bill or helped pass the bill was 1998.
Yeah.
So I think I do disagree just a little bit, because the smaller author, that indie author, not that someone's going to come and adapt their book because it's so small. I think the longer time you have of it to get popular, of the chances you have to get popular to where it would be adapted, just the more time you have, the more chances and opportunities you will for someone to pick it up and therefore getting an adaptation. So I think Disney, their point that they have, although, you know, Mickey Mouse, shame on you, shame on Disney, all this stuff. But the point for the smaller author is, I don't want to keep going back and forth on this point, though, but I do disagree with that. But in all things considered, would you, maybe we can agree with this, that copyright law, the point of protecting the creator, whether they're small or big, still is an important aspect of it. It's just, who does it benefit more? Who knows? And would you say it doesn't benefit the small author at all? Or will you just say it benefits the bigger company more than the smaller author, is your point?
It benefits the big popular authors vastly more than the smaller creators.
Do you think then with a new law, there should be a stipulation of, depending on the success of it, should adjust how long the copyright lasts, or just keep it blanket? Does one size fits all, or do you get a twin bed versus a king?
Personally, I would just say less time for everyone. Like, it shouldn't be 70 years after the author's death, personally.
What would you say if you could create the law right now? What would it be?
30 years.
After death?
30 years after death.
Okay.
There we go.
Now,
it's enough time for the kids to get some value out of it. Like, if they want to sell it, they want to continue on, fine. And it's probably enough time that if the author sells it within their life, like, there's some big corporation can make something out of it. But it's not 70 years. Jesus. Come on.
Now, what about in those cases where someone lives to like 100? Hey, as life expectancies are getting higher, they're pushing 120.
Fair enough. Hey, they're alive and it's fine.
And let's say they created it when they're 18 years old. You get 100 plus to 30.
Now, here's the thing. If they're 120, I'm assuming their kids don't particularly need much.
Oh,
do they really need help, sure, at that point? Or you hope they don't.
Yeah.
Like, oof. But,
like, yeah, they're a 100-year-old kid. Needs help in post-retirement. Yeah. But the point of that being, the adding, having life plus a number of years for the law, you do agree with that?
Yeah, at bare minimum, life of the author plus some time.
Okay.
Now, ultimately, the reason why I think it's too long is you look at the incentives for corporations to do these franchises. I don't like these franchises. I hate the idea that Hollywood just keeps churning out franchisee after franchisee, and it's annoying, and most of it sucks. Not a fan. So, not a fan of that habit. It's incentivized by, the reason they do it is because they have such a long window on copyright hold that they can hold it for so long, and that's a lot of money. If there was a much shorter window for copyright, they wouldn't put as much money into paying for these franchises. No, like, they wouldn't pay Marvel X billions of dollars for Marvel Studios if the copyright term was much shorter. They just wouldn't. Mm. They wouldn't try to hold it for so long like they are, and it wouldn't incentivize this constant buying of IPs.
And would the IP, even after it goes to the public domain, mean something? Because Marvel is a company, and Marvel Comics, would it still retain a lot of value regardless if it fits in the public domain?
It would retain no value to the, like, monetarily wise. Like, yeah, if it went to the public domain, Disney could just do it, like they've done with everything else. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have to pay for it, and they get to do it for fun. Mm-hmm. Great. But Marvel doesn't get as much money, and I just don't like the incentives of Disney buying up every single IP under the sun. And so the only way to change that incentive is reduce the time frame of copyright.
Yeah, so reducing the time frame of copyright from, it's kind of an arbitrary number to just pick. Yeah. There's no real right answer.
There's just wrong answers of longer is wrong.
Well, what do you think about the negatives then of it being not lifetime of author, but just, hey, let's go back to the old version of 14 years and renew for 14, or 28 years and renew for 28, kind of like what happened with It's a Wonderful Life. I was trying to remember the movie, Dave. So what about going back to that old law? Because I see a lot of push to go back to something like that when I was researching.
Ultimately, the authors would get less money. That's what it means, is creators would see less. But it would also mean that they would be forced to create more. I mean, you have to balance that. Corporations would make more money, ultimately, because then they could get those IPs for free, They don't have to pay anybody for it, and they could just pull and do what they want. So I'm personally not a fan of the before life of the author.
Because if you ever create something in your life too, is this a selfish? Is this a 100%. Selfish law here? It's, hey, listen, if I ever create something, I'm till day I die, it's mine.
That's kind of my thought. Is I kind of want to say on what I create while I'm alive. I mean, that seems pretty fair to me. Of I don't know if there's anything more fair than that. It's just after I'm dead.
Now,
no nuts.
Would you agree with the big pharma company that goes, hey, this patent, we put all the work into that. That's ours. Until the day the company dies. It is ours. Now, what would you say to that? Is the public benefit of a patent way more than you'd see it as copyright, as an intangible good? Is that why you have that thought? Do you hold more value in the author's ownership of that copyright than you do for a patent of a certain mechanical or invention?
Technology is more important to the public good than stories. Ultimately, like the story, my story is more important to me than it is to anybody else. And so while I'm alive, I should get chief control over it. However, the formula for aspirin is far more valuable to the public than the company that made it.
Also, with a copyright stuff, you can always pirate it. You can't pirate the intangible. Well, I guess if you have an underground type. Well, yeah, there's plenty
that's
of...
That's what generic is. It's pirated versions of...
Legalized. I mean, when it's patented, it's just much tougher to do that. But when we're talking about copyright...
Actually, you could argue.
Yeah, what's that?
This is what a lot of different companies do, is like the reverse order of something is in the public domain. It's... But different drugs that technically have a generic version.
Yeah.
But companies will then make a slight alteration, slight change. It doesn't have really change the efficacy of it. It just is.
Transforms it in some small, small way.
To the point where it doesn't change the effect. It doesn't do anything, but it's enough to get another patent on it. And then they sell that for much more. It's the reverse pirating. They take something public and then sell it for higher.
Damn.
So, I mean, the reverse is kind of taking a currently patented drug and then figuring out a way to change it ever so slightly.
And then boom.
And then
new thing, yeah.
But it never goes, hey, let's take this patented thing, figure out a way to change it, and make it public. It's generally not how things go.
No.
Because to do that requires lots of money. And you don't make money putting things into the public domain.
Got it. So then when it comes to patents, you see it's clear. There should be a timeline. Doesn't matter if the person's still living. But copyrights, you'd like the author to still retain it until death.
Yeah, because who's it gonna hurt of, you know, the person, the author's still alive, and then other people get to mess around with their creation?
It's like, there's no life-saving book. Okay, I get it that books can save your life and like it impacts you so much because you connect with it.
But there's no life-saving book that to the public is like, you can wait 20 years till they're dead. It's fine.
You're going to have to pay $29.99 for the hardcover for now, okay? That's it.
Yeah, no, I just don't think the importance is far more for the author than the public.
Then what are you looking forward to the most going on in the public domain? Of all the IPs right now, what would you just love to go out there?
Ooh. It's a difficult question because I want Disney to fall. So I would like their popular IP to just be worth nothing. And then other people do things better. Mickey,
I'm going to burst your bubble a little bit. You know Disney.
Marvel and all their other things. I would love that to be public domain.
You know they own like ABC, ESPN.
Yes, I know. They
Our Souls.
Uh-huh.
The sponsor next episode's probably going to be a Disney product.
Yeah. They own everything. They own us all.
We're going to accidentally sponsor Disney one day because, they own that too? Oh.
You're probably right. Like, they'll own some weird company and it's like, hey, this company reached out to us. It's a cool product. And then we, like, you know, trace the rabbit hole back. And
Damn it.
Owned by Disney.
This is not true, but I don't know this. But this plate, I don't know. They're a Polish company. Disney's infiltrated.
Here's the thing. They got Marvel posters on there.
How do they do that?
They have some kind of agreement.
Some connection. Or they're just...
Disney doesn't just let them do it for free.
I'd hope that. Or we're like getting Display in some trouble here. So we should...
I like Display, though. I don't want to look into that.
Yeah, that I that's some...
I choose to be ignorant on who owns Display.
Cognitive dissonance. Da-da-da-da-da. See you next episode, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.